Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie! How's it going?
Happy day, Barbara, and welcome, groomers, to episode 167 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 3rd, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors like Ryan's Pet Supplies. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about shaving down tightly matted dogs. We will learn about cedarwood oil, probably very popular in the Northwest since we have lots of cedars. And we're going to get the lovely visit from the Angry Bird about mixed vegetables. Mixed vegetables? Ew. So if you guys want to join our discussion, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. And you can ask all your questions there, suggest topics, whatever you'd like, interact with your hosts. That's us. You can find all things Groom Pod related at our website, www.thegroompod.com, including the Amazon banner donation button and the Patreon information. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod, which really is the best way to get it, on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Some of them work better than others, so if one isn't working, try a different one. And thanks for sharing us with your grooming pals. And remember to support our sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Evolution, Stazco, Show Seasons, and Positive Ed.
Boy, has that grown!
I know. Speaking of grown, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, which is Positive Ed. That is Paw, PAWSITIVEED.com. And Positive Ed is an educational training membership program that is hosted by yours and my friend, Mary, and it's an entirely new way of experiencing your education. So you get personalized attention, you get access to the educator, and a private community on Facebook to interact with. It's designed to expand and evolve your pet business. A membership fee is either $30 a month or $360 a year. And what you get for your membership is monthly live interactive webinars on various subjects. And you get access to the speaker right there on the spot if you do the webinar live. Kind of like Barbara and my webinars when we do them. You get the access to the private Facebook group and you get a weekly question and answer with Mary on anything at all. You can ask her pretty much anything and she's game to answer your questions. Plus, you get bonus material and special offers. This month's topic is about harmony in the grooming shop. You know, like Eastern harmony in the grooming shop. It's all about ways to reduce the overwhelm that the pets feel when they're in there and maybe even reduce some of the behavior issues. If you want to take that seminar, it's Saturday at 6 o'clock. That would be this week, Saturday at 6 o'clock. And the price is $47 if you just want to take that seminar, or $30 a month if you sign up for the monthly membership, or $360 for the year. So you can find all of that information, because it is a lot, at Positive Ed. PAWSITIVEED.com.
So that would be June 9th, Saturday, June 9th.
Thank you.
Just to be clear, in case you didn't get
never
the
know
when you're going to hear it.
Because, yeah, that was a live read, folks. That was a completely off-the-cuff live read. So good. Thank you, Barbara, for putting in the date. I appreciate that. And that's probably Eastern time, 6 o'clock Eastern time.
What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma.
All right. Well, tell me about your week.
Well, I had an interesting week. One thing that I wanted to share with our groomers is that I met a new sharpener and was very impressed. And if you don't know me, you don't know that I am extremely hard to impress in the sharpening department because I have very good shears. I've sold shears for years. I understand that a little bit of the technical side of the edges and that sort of thing. And this man's name is Lee Matthews, and he's mobile. And he's actually located in Los Angeles and serves the LA area. But he comes over here once a year.
Just once a year?
Just once a year. So he said, you better just get as much done as you can because it'll be another year before you see me. And I gave him some of my Arias Eichert little bevel edge curves. Now that's a bevel edge with a micro serration and a small curve. So those are dainty and somewhat, I mean, they can easily be ruined.
I have had a sharpener break the end off of one of those.
Oh, asshole.
I cried. I cried. Tears, real life tears.
I know. I lost one in the mail back from my sharpener in Alabama. That's one of the reasons why I've held off sending shears this year.
I get it.
And I cried.
Yep.
So Lee Matthews, his business name is Pro Edge Express. And you can find it online. LA area, but he comes to the Arizona and does Phoenix and Tucson and probably other Arizona communities, probably spends about a month or 3 weeks or something in Arizona, and he's worth it. He's $20 for a convex edge, and he's not horrible in the price range. Really good sharpener. So that was a big success for me. And another success, we had Milton again this week.
Good.
And I actually got a pretty decent schnauzer face on Milton. But Lord knows why it came out all right. Because that dog, I cannot ever see, I can never look at one side while I'm doing the other side. He is so much in motion the entire time that, and I'm just, it's just whack-a-mole grooming, you know, you just like get your thinning scissors and whack this off and whack that off and pull something through the muzzle and clip it. And it came out and it was really the best schnauzer face that I'd gotten on him. His dad had given him a whole pill. Last time he gave him a half and it was like back to zero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back to the starting gate with poor Milton screaming and everything. And you know what? This man, he was so happy. I charged $75 for that schnauzer. He gave me a $100 bill.
Hey, that's neat.
Now, you see, there's a very good example of where taking more time, using more resources, working with a difficult dog can really pay off. And he comes from Gilbert, Arizona. It's an hour and a half drive each way.
I think it's great because it's such good subject matter for the podcast.
Yeah, it is too.
It really works well.
Then I had another interesting thing that I thought I would share with you because I had a kind of crazy man come into the shop on Friday. Now, I don't know. He clearly had mental health issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, having mental health issues does not necessarily make somebody dangerous or bad or unworthy of having his dog groomed.
Right.
I happen, because of my background as a social worker and therapist, I have a little bit more confidence in dealing with somebody like that. He didn't look homeless and high, you know?
Right.
But he came in and he was ranting. He was ranting about one of the corporates, and he had tried to get his dog groomed, and they had dissed him. He felt disrespected, unacknowledged, diminished. They treated me like crap. They wouldn't do my dog. They didn't have any time. That, you know, like, you could see that the communication had just gone into the crapper. You know, like, these whoever dealt with him at this place where he walked in and tried to get his dog groomed, they dealt with him in a way which escalated his mental health issues.
Oh, the stress that must cause.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard enough to be, you know,
to have to go through life.
To have to go through life and be unbalanced and be easily triggered and all of that kind of stuff. And then to have somebody, you know, like, treat you like a non-human because you're a little strange. It's upsetting to me. This is one of the things that's wrong in our society, is that we don't know how to deal with each other and when we have issues.
We forgot to teach that.
And when I was a social work grad student, I always felt that some sort of social skills and conflict resolution should be taught in the schools. I thought that some social skills and conflict resolution should be ingrained in the educational system, and it certainly isn't. But here's what I did. I just stood at my counter with my hands just calmly placed in front of me, kind of folded on top of the counter, very peaceful body language. I leaned forward to listen to him instead of pulling back and giving him a negative vibe. So I just listened to him and I said, how upsetting that must have been. And I can see where you feel they did you wrong. I calmed him down. In other words, I used calming language and calmed him down. And then we started to have the conversation. It has a Japanese chin. It turns out they couldn't do him until Thursday or something, but they didn't explain that in a way. He just felt like he was being put off.
Right, and not listened to, I'm sure.
And not listened to and everything. But I had my appointment book right there under my hands, and I looked at it, and he could see the full days, and then he could see that his day, I actually gave him a later date, which was like next Friday, but I gave him my time and I gave him my respect. He could understand that I didn't have any time, and it wasn't that I didn't have time for him. That's how he had left the other place. Like, they just didn't have time for me. They just didn't want me, and they didn't want my dog. And I said, well, take it easy. We won't treat you that way. You know, you're here now. We're okay. You know,
I love that about you.
Well, thank you. And so we'll see next Friday. And this is a customer that could blow up in my face. And I totally understand it. But I'm going to give him a chance to be a customer. And maybe it will be fine. Who knows?
Yeah, and maybe book a bath dog there as well, in case he doesn't show, so you're not just doing nothing.
I think he's going to show.
Okay. I think it'll be fine. I don't think you're going to have any problem with this guy.
Yeah, I think that we have a chance of it. I think we have a 60-40 chance of it going. I wanted to share it so that people could understand that how you respond to a person can greatly affect then what you get back from them. There are people you've got to be more deliberate with. You've got to, you know, like, there are people that you can deal with in a pretty crisp manner, and there are people that you can't deal with like that. You need to change who you are in some accordance to who they are.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You do that with dogs, and you need to do that with people.
Some of us are better at reading the dogs than the people. Luckily, I'm pretty good at reading the people, too, but I know I've watched it. I've watched people just not able to grasp that idea, you know, the service idea Yeah, interesting.
See, to me, it's a challenge. It's a challenge just like dealing with Milton.
Yep.
It's a challenge, right? This is the same thing, only it's on the customer side.
I'm with you, totally, wholeheartedly. I love this stuff. You know I do. I married it. A whole other subject. A little peek behind the curtain there. But
yes, you know.
Patience is really an amazing gift if you've got it and you can deal with this stuff. You may end up with someone, you know, who certainly cares deeply for his dog and wants to do right for his dog and, you know, has a difficult time managing society. And I understand and am compassionate to that, definitely. Well, I had a big, not exciting week, just kind of plain old grooming week. It was... That was it.
Yeah, but you bought a new car, and it's sexy. Yes.
So we bought a 2017 Mustang GT convertible, and it's awesome. But I say that, and it's only been here like overnight. I haven't even really seen it in the daylight. I did walk out there and open the garage this morning. It's basically my husband's toy, but I get to drive it, too. So I get to help pay for it. No, it's neat. And I'm very excited about it. And he graciously thanked me with those words this morning. So it worked. I'm happy. I think everything's good. Yeah. Just try to.
Yeah, it'll keep him happy for a little while anyway, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
just try complaining about something now. So we have a new Patreon person.
Well, I'm good. Who is it?
Really, it's Linda Trader. She's not really new. She's new to Patreon.
We know her from way back.
That's right. She's been in it since the beginning. So thank you, Linda. And I've had a bunch of puppies. I've had lots of puppies. Puppies are fun. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know, the thing about puppies and me, I charge a little bit less because I want them to come. I don't want to discourage them by charging them $85 to start their puppy. So I charge less. I have big, big fun visits with them and I play with them and I do treat parties where they come out to the trailer and there's treats hidden all over and they can just walk around in there and check it out. And then I give them a bath and do the face, feet and fanny thing and blow dry them with the little handheld dryer and play with them. And I love that. And I've had a bunch of those this week. I've had like four of those. It's so nice. They're just relaxing. I mean, I'm certainly not bringing in a lot of money to pay for that car, but it's so rejuvenating to spend time with puppies and have that puppy breath. And, you know, these are really little dogs. These are really young.
And just to know that you're starting a dog off and is grooming life in a really good way. I mean, it's something you can be really proud of.
Yes. And then, of course, I get to go in the house and play with them in the house. That's the beauty of mobile grooming. You just get to experience the dog in their own environment and you get to experience it in your environment. You get to start them out right. You get to smell the puppy breath and get the little kisses. It's really fun. But I am having a very difficult time transitioning from the yes, I'm taking new clients to the no, I'm not taking any new clients. I've been in taking new client mode for a year now. And I keep forgetting that I'm not taking new clients. And
it's you that has the dog barking now.
That was Huckleberry.
I'm looking all around saying, Marco, something must be terribly wrong. You never make that sound.
He's squeaking. Yeah, usually you can't hear that, but he was going crazy there for a second. I just need to really pay attention. Like there's in my neighborhood, a Legato Romanolo that means a groomer right in the middle of my work area.
Yeah.
I said, doggone it. That's right in my hood. But I said I wasn't taking anybody new. Right. Well, now 4 days later, nobody's taken that dog. Yeah, I know. See there. The face Barbara is making is the exact face I feel when I go to Facebook and I see nobody has answered to who's in this neighborhood that can take this dog.
And you know what? It's so easy, but it's not so easy mobile.
Because I have to dry him.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, like it's great for me because I can just pin dry those Legatos and they come up curly and rustic looking and then it's fine. But you have to dry them.
Yep, I have put that up there that, gee, but I'm not taking anybody. And then I have not answered again. I have refrained from responding to that post again, even though I so desperately want to find that person a groomer. I just don't know. I don't know why. Maybe I will tag that dog with some of the local groomers that I know and see if somebody will pick up on it. Maybe they just didn't see the post. That would be a nice dog to add to the client base, you know? Oh, well. Alas.
And they're, you know what? They're good-natured dogs. It's a good-natured breed. They're not difficult. They're pretty cooperative. They're human-loving kind of dogs.
Yes, I'm not doing it, though. No, no, Susie, no. That's all I can say. Hey, let's take a break, Barbara, and hear from Best Shot. And okay. Then let's talk about shaving down really matted dogs. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15:1 for deep cleaning, 50:1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. I don't very often get matted dogs because everybody's on a regular rotation and I've given them appropriate haircuts, so I don't have to deal with it a lot. But at the vet hospital, I was dealing with it on a constant basis. And sometimes you get a dog coming in where you can look at it and you go, if I take out my very favorite Best Shot products and I attack it with all of my skill level and knowledge, that I can probably leave a little bit of hair on this dog. But then there's the other ones that we're talking about. The pelted dogs, the dogs that are so matted that you can't even find a spot on the dog to get the clipper under to start. Those are the dogs we're talking about. There's been a bunch of those posted on Facebook recently. So I thought it would be a beneficial thing to talk about how to attack these. How to attack. That's bad vernacular there. We don't want to attack people's pets. How to go about grooming these really, really tightly matted dogs safely, because there's all kinds of medical issues that can pop up underneath there that, or during the process or even after the process, that we kind of need to address. So let's talk about that. Are you game?
Okay.
Okay. So the dog comes in to your shop, or in my case, I drive up to the house and I look at the dog and I feel it and it's just lumpy and clumpy and matted and pelted. And you know, there's no real discussion to have except for this is going to be a nudie discussion. Got to talk about it with the owner. So let's pretend we're talking to the owner. What things do we want to bring up at this very first moment before we've even done any of the grooming with that owner?
Well, I think you hit on it. You need to be very clear, first of all, that it's a, I call it a smoothie.
I like it that way you call it that.
A smoothie, or, you know, like a military groom.
It helps cushion the blow to give it a creative name like that.
men get it when you say it's going to be a Marine haircut.
I like
it. They get it right away, you know.
Totally.
Like, okay, we're going to make him look like he's joined the Marines now. But the other thing, I think it's important that when you have a dog that's extremely matted like that, to talk about the things that can go wrong. You know, same thing if you're doing a very pelted cat. You've got to know that we don't know what's underneath here. This is very tricky work. I'll do my very best to not have anything go wrong, but we can have a cut or a scrape or a nick. And I just, you know, I can't promise that that won't happen. I promise I'll do my best to avoid any kind of injury, but this is a delicate situation.
Perfect. I love the way you put that. Delicate is a great way to put it because it really is such a careful process to get that hair off of there. So there are things that can pop up afterwards that I like to let the dog's owner know about beforehand, like hematomas. So if the ears are dropped and they're really matted, there can be issues with hematomas. They're going to need to be prepared for that at home. Sometimes talking about a happy hoodie or a sock around the head or something like that before you even attack the ears. Because you can kind of tell in advance if those ears are going to be shakers because they've been matted for so long. I think that's an important thing to cover at first. Another thing is that people forget that we can't see the warts when the dog is matted that badly. So we don't know if we're going to tag the warts. So I like to mention that in the older dogs. People have a tendency to put off the grooming because they think it's stressful for the dog as they get older. But then we've got all these landmines hiding amongst all the mats and stuff. It makes it difficult for us.
Yeah. And it's more difficult for them because there's no way to not tug and pull on the hair when it's that bad. So would you wet clip a dog like that?
I would do some wet clipping sometimes. I'm not really great at wet clipping, but if I can wash the dog and then get a little, just the tiniest bit of space between the skin and the matting, wet clipping is a great solution for that. I've done it, definitely.
I've done it too. I've done it with, I haven't done it so much with like huskies or a malamute or a collie.
Right.
But I've done it with Bichons, Maltese, you know, dogs where the people are used to seeing a little bit of fluff, you know, and I found that oftentimes I can get in there, you know, if you can get in there with a 7-blade safely, which is a key concept. If you can get in there with it, because that's the other thing. When you are working underneath a packed puff of hair, you don't know where the skin flap is. It's really easier to have accidents when you can't see. And then if the dog isn't perfectly still, that's an added hazard. So that's another thing that I explained to the people. We're going to want to do this in a way that is the least stressful to your dog so that he doesn't struggle and add a hazard to our work.
You might need to take breaks and it might take longer.
Might take longer, right. One of my most memorable wet clips was a Bichon, and the people had been here for 4 months bedside with an ailing relative that had no family here. Aww. So they had literally packed up, brought their dog, given up their life, and gone every day. And this wasn't even a close relative. It was like a cousin or a somewhat removed person who had nobody else. And meanwhile, their Bichon got matted. And they probably washed it and didn't brush it out, you know. And it was bad. And they were nearly in tears begging me not to give it a smoothie. So I wet clipped that dog. And I was able to work a 5-blade through most of it.
Impressive.
It only had to do the 10-blade like armpits and certain little not so obvious places. And then I was able to finish it with a 4. And it wasn't a totally smooth look. Wasn't like if it had been a healthy coat and I did it in a 4-blade, you can get a really nice little lamb even shape. No, it was a little rough, but they don't see that. What they see is that their dog still is a little fluffy.
Has a little
and
style.
You know what? They cried.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm sure it had been a stressful time for them.
They cried and thanked me so much. And, of course, I never saw them again. I knew I wasn't going to see them again. I could easily have just taken a 10-blade to the dog and said, that's all I can do. But I didn't. I listened to their situation. I wet clipped. Wet clipping doesn't necessarily take longer. Sometimes it's shorter.
I think it's shorter, definitely, than trying
because
to
get the healthy. Yeah, because it slides through more easily.
Yeah, but it just depends on the coat. It totally depends on the coat and the process and how much space you can get in there between where it starts and where the
I'm sure you've had them where you would go a little ways and then you would just have this clown neck thing around it and you have to cut in with the scissors to give yourself some more space to get a little bit further. It can be so slow going.
Let's talk about that a little bit. You've made the decision that doing the bath and putting product in there and blowing the coat out isn't going to give you any more space. The mats are just too tight. You can see they've pulled on these kind of dogs. You'll see where the mat is. It's actually pulled hair off of the skin and there may be bald patches. Certainly with the cats, they get that way a lot. So you have to get started, but maybe there isn't a bald patch to get started. So I do exactly what you're saying. I cut through a safe area. Sometimes I can get a comb underneath it. Oftentimes I can't, but I'll take the scissors in the upright position, my sharpest, pointiest scissors, and I'll cut myself the width of a blade to get started. And I'll work the blade in under there and that'll be my starting point. Sometimes I'll have to cut a neck that way. I'll oftentimes have to do legs that way where I cut in there and start splitting the mats apart and then go in and shave them.
And that's so, where you have to be real careful that you are getting the hair and not poking the skin. Now it's just a matter of, it's extremely mindful work.
Yes.
You just got to pay attention totally to where you are and what's going on. And I've had a lot of dogs where I had to use the scissors to cut away as I clipped because it would just get packed and built up. And then I'd have this little wall of hair that I couldn't get under anymore any place.
And you know, it blocks your view. It blocks your view. You already can't see very well. And then you've got this big bunch of mats that are just keep flopping over and you're trying to get them out of the way. I'll cut those off. I'll cut through big mats so that I can see around them a little bit better sometimes. Also, sometimes that'll release them a little bit and get a little bit of space that way. Legs are the worst. I hate little tiny bony matted legs.
Yeah, legs around the hock.
Yes.
Legs around the hock. Oh my God, especially with cats and small dogs. And it's really hazardous to use a 7-blade there.
It sure
so
is.
So that's where I'd go for a 10, or I would use my trimmer on the 10 or the 15 setting, you know?
Sometimes a trimmer won't go through there.
Yeah.
Then you're in dire straits. Sometimes I'll work a little silicone product in there and see if that loosens it up. Maybe I can kind of work it through a little bit better that way. I use my comb a lot in conjunction with my scissors and my clipping.
So you're pulling it up a little bit. Trying to work
the comb underneath so that I can cut on top of it safely, not risking the skin.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I work with a spray bottle of water. And if it's a large dog and it's starting to get your wet clipping and it's starting to get dry, you need to re-wet it because if it's just damp, it's going to catch the blade more. It's not going to work right. So you need to keep it wet. You don't really want to let it get dry.
And I, like you, will go to different lengths. If I can get a 10 through, if I can get a 7 through or a 5 through somewhere, and then a 10 through only in other places, I'll do that. And then I'll adjust it after I've fluffed the dog out, kind of see what I can blend. So try to go to the longest common denominator. Let's talk about the surprises we find underneath.
I found a fishing hook one time.
Oh, that's a bad one. Oh, God. I found a bong grommet.
A bong grommet?
Yes, the little rubber stopper thing that goes into the, holds the stem of the bong into the smoking device. Yeah, caught in a mat. It was in a mat. I was like, what the heck? This was way before legalization. I remember that. It was very sticky. But bad. Weird stuff. But oftentimes, especially in the butt, there'll be some real clumpy, matty things, and you'll get in there, and it will just be ugly, angry, red sores underneath that matting where the urine has been caked against the skin.
You know what else you can find?
What?
Maggots.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Yuck. I didn't need that image. Yeah,
maggots are awful. But what is it about maggots that you can't look away?
I don't know. And you want to get it out.
What is it about maggots that you can't stand to look at it, but you keep going back to look at it, you know, and it stinks, you know, like that's your very first clue that you've got maggots. If you've washed a dog and it still stinks. Gag you stinks. There's some maggots under there. So what do you do when you hit maggots? Do you just stop and send it to the vet?
I keep shaving. I get it. I do the best, and then I send them to the vet.
Yeah, well, I sure do put the gloves on real fast.
Absolutely, and segregate all your equipment.
And segregate my equipment. And is it hydrogen peroxide that kills maggots?
I think so, or alcohol. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, God, I can't remember. I had a terrible maggot situation with my lovely Arturo.
Ooh, I remember that.
Yeah, that was awful, but I handled it by myself, and I think it was hydrogen peroxide. I just don't remember.
That sounds about right.
It was one of those things that as soon as I finished it, I pretty much wiped it from my mind because I didn't want to have to revisit that a lot.
Yeah, well, the butt is one end, also underneath the eyes of like the Shih Tzus and poodles and Bichons, and where they get caked eye goobers.
Yeah, well, you know what I do? What we do when we have caked eye goobers is I use my fingers to put on my thickest conditioner on those eye goobers and let it soak while I'm doing other stuff because the conditioner can kind of soften that sometimes enough so where you can get to the skin without scraping it. God, it's so horrible when you get the eye boogers out and you've irritated and it's bloody there, you know.
Or the dog is going after it. That's another one of those spots where you can send them out the door and they can seem like they're okay. And 2 hours later, the owner's calling you and saying, whatever you did, my dog's face is all swollen. And it's because the dog has gone after that spot with their own foot after it's left the shop and probably has freshly clipped nails as well.
Well, I sometimes very carefully take Gold Bond on a Q-tip and pat the Gold Bond on that, just being very careful not to get it in the eye. And sometimes that will calm it down enough that it can. Here I am patting the bags under my eyes. you use that same sort of gentle touch where you want to like make it stick to the skin but not blow, you know, you just anyway, you get it.
I also learned from you to keep these little travel size Gold Bond medicated powder containers so that when I have to do a shave like this where I have no doubt irritated part of that dog somewhere, no doubt, because there's no way you can get
the
this
person
stuff.
If you send something, you know, like, and this goes for any kind of like a clipper burn, clipper abrasion, brush burn, any of that, Gold Bond is a real first aid miracle. It will save your ass, and you can get for $1 a travel size gold bond at Target or Walmart or wherever they have all those little bottle things. And it's so worth it to just have about three of those on hand. And if you run into a situation where you have to use the gold bond, you can give the little bottle away, and people just love it that they walk out with a solution.
I totally agree. It is one of the best things you told me, Barbara. It is a super pro tip, that one there. And you can get those at any drugstore, at Walmart. They're just all over the place.
Yeah.
And you can get them on Amazon. And if you do get them on Amazon, go to our website, www.thegroompod.com. Click on our Amazon banner, and you'll help support the show without it costing you a penny. So other things we can tell the people after we've done, got not done, after we've done, got all the hair off. And you know, the dog's going home. I always let them know that I've done the nails. The dog may very well be itchy. Keep an eye that they are not irritating their own skin by scratching at their belly that previously had so much hair on it. Now they can get to it. Now they cause an irritation that shows up later. Also, I mentioned with white dogs, it might be a good idea to put some suntan lotion on the dogs if it's hot out and you've taken all their hair off, because now they're naked.
Except that with a suntan lotion, you know, like, that's only good for a little while. You've got to let them know that they need to do some kind of a sunscreen spray.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you need to tell them. This is stuff we're telling the owner.
For a while, I had equine horse sunscreen spray.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a nice, fairly large spray bottle. But the problem was I didn't have that happen enough, because I just don't do that kind of work. That's the kind of work that you really get if you're in helping rescues or
vet hospital.
Boy, and that's one of the reasons I refused the invitation to join the vet hospital that my favorite vet invited me. Three times he tried to hire me. But you know what? I didn't want to do those kind of grooms all the time.
Hey, we didn't talk about conditioning. So after you take all the hair off, do you always run a conditioner?
I would.
Would you use a Remo kind of a conditioner, or just anything?
No, just, you want to use something. You know, like, what wouldn't be a bad idea is a chlorhexidine. Show season has a chlorhexidine conditioner. You know, like, that might not be a bad idea.
I think that's a great idea, actually. Yeah, Show Season. They're one of our sponsors, in case you guys didn't know.
Right.
How to throw that in there. All right.
Our new sponsors.
Yes, one of the newest. So I think that covers it. Do have a conversation with them if you think there's any possibility there's going to be ear hematoma. You might just make them aware that they'll need to get to the vet ASAP if that does happen, and the signs to look for. Unless you're in the business, you really don't know about that unless your dog's had one. So we certainly don't want to be blamed for that. It's not our fault the dog got in that situation. So let them know in advance this is a possibility, and make sure they look and see that it's not happening now, that it's not happening when the dog is leaving the shop. It's something that they have to watch for later. So that's it. That's our primer on shaving really tightly matted dogs. Let's hear from South Park Professional Pet Products, and then we're going back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary this week, axilla. Do you know what the axilla is? That is A-X-I-L-L-A.
Is this a part?
Yeah, it's a body part. If you were Mexican, it would be the axilla, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
Any guesses?
No. The truth is, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I'll give you a clue. It's one of the most annoying places to get mats. And almost everybody gets mats there. Not humans, but dogs with hair.
Is this armpits?
Yes! I am such a good game player. I can give the best clues that you can miss.
That was a good clue. I got it right away. Yes.
All right. Grooming glossary, which you might have noticed was absent last week because I butchered it so badly. We're going to try this again. Grooming glossary this week is low tail set. So low. Okay, Barbara. Low tail set is a tail that comes off the spine at an angle lower than horizontal.
Got it.
Much clearer. You should have heard last week's discussion. It was so bad, I took it out. Hey, Barbara, you know, we kind of hit on it before, but let's talk a little bit about Show Season, our newest sponsor. Tell me about your personal relationship with Show Season.
Okay, I'd love to. We want to welcome Show Season as our newest sponsor. And I have a kind of a personal relationship with this company that I want to be very open and clear about. And it's a little bit interesting. Well, I hope it's interesting. So I first met Sandy Giorgi, CEO of Show Season, at a trade show in Denver where I was a speaker and I had a booth next to Show Season. Well, she had a booth and I had a little table with my aromatherapy products. I'm not sure exactly when it was, but I think it was 2009. Unfortunately, the show was slow. And when that happens, vendors usually kind of drift away from their little designated spot and chit-chat with neighboring sales types. So we did that. Sandy and I did much more than chit-chat. We talked in depth about essential oils for pets and about shampoo ingredient disclosure. Sandy Giorgi was the first shampoo company person to get it about transparency of ingredients being an outward expression of the company's integrity.
One of the things we appreciate so very much.
Right. It's an integrity matter. So as a result of our conversations that weekend, I started using Show Season products, and Show Season became the sole distributor of my essential oil blends. Through the years, we have become good friends and important business associates. Sales of my aromatherapy have exceeded my imagination. I never thought I would be sending, you know, like this much Mellow Pet back to Sandy. They've exceeded my imagination, and not long after our trade show encounter, show season began disclosing ingredient information. They started with having technical sheets that they would provide when asked for, and today they include inky ingredient list on the bottles and complete lists on the websites in their safety data sheets section on their website. Yeah.
And in the order that they should be, as if they were a human product.
Right, exactly. All they're just proper ingredient lists. So although Show Season is not the largest pet shampoo manufacturer, there's a significant player in the pet marketplace. I consider them a leader in the industry because of their forward thinking and company integrity. Their marketing is straight on and truthful. This is a no BS company.
And we like them. Cool. So the way we're going to handle their advertising in the future is we're going to tell you all about their products, like one product at a time. So you guys can look forward to that. I'm pretty excited about it because it's a massive line, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a thorough line. And one of the interesting features of this company is that it's a small enough company. Well, see, Sandy works with a partner who is Mike, a formulator. He's a cosmetic chemist. And so together, they can just like whip out a new product in a matter of weeks. So they're a very good company. They're very responsive to groomer requests. They're open to listening to what you need in a product. This is how the Focus on Feline product line was developed. It was because cat groomers asked Sandy to develop something they could feel comfortable with and trust. And she developed the Focus on Felines line. So I'm delighted to have them be a sponsor. I'm looking forward to personally telling you about their products and where I've used them. You'll get my use information. Where I haven't used them, you'll know that too. So, you know, and if you have questions, they're again on the Facebook page. Let us know what you want to know and we'll tell you here.
Excellent. Cool. Okay, time for the definition du jour. Tell us about cedarwood oil.
There's a number of different cedarwoods. You know, you can get it, it comes from different places around the world, but mostly what we see in the United States is Texas cedarwood. Texas cedarwood is just a kind of a pain in the ass, bushy tree thing that just takes over land. Cattle owners in Texas and in the lower southwest there have to clear their land of this cedarwood. And it's useful then as an essential oil source. Okay. And cedarwood is a alternative pesticide that is more safe than delimonene or citrus oils. Okay, more safe. Now, this doesn't mean that I would use it neat directly on pets, but the reason that I kind of looked it up this week is that I ran into, I guess on my feed, I ran into a link to Wonderside products. These are flea and tick products that are made with Texas cedarwood. And I think they look good. And I looked up cedarwood in the essential oil safety book. And there's nothing in there that alarms me or worries me. There is no delimonene in cedarwood. You know, like unlike some other oils also have, did you know there's delimonene in lavender?
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, no, we didn't know that. Who knew? But there is none in cedarwood. So it appears today, with today's knowledge, to be a safe alternative when made into a product for pest control natural pest control, okay? Well, there was another thing that I noticed about these Wonderside products. It's like they contain, all of them, no matter what scent there they are, they contain 4-point-something% of cedar wood and like 2.5% sodium lauryl sulfate.
Oh, the magical ingredient that I love so
much. Okay, newsflash. Sodium lauryl sulfate, the detergent, surfactant, kills ticks and fleas.
Ever since you told me that, I have used Grime Time exclusively for my flea shampoo.
Yeah, Grime Time is nearly 100% sodium lauryl sulfate. It's an excellent way. Sodium lauryl sulfate is actually a registered pesticide with the EPA, and it kills ticks and fleas by softening their exoskeleton.
Good.
And then they die because they no longer have the protection, you know. So it softens the exoskeleton, probably allows the cedar wood oil greater access. They work together, but it's not exactly a natural product. I mean, it is a good co-product. I was glad to see it because I know that stuff will kill fleas and ticks. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So I just thought I would let you know that I give a cedar wood oil a pass.
This is something that I've always been fascinated about. So you're not supposed to use cedar chips for your bedding if you have rodents. Everybody that has rodents is supposed to know that in advance, right? But they often use cedar chips for flea repellent, like put it in dog beds and build your cabinetry out of cedar because it's a bug repellent.
Yeah, cedar chests.
Yeah,
that was an old thing that my grandmother used to have. Cedar chests where you put the clothes in store them.
And yet, I live in the equivalent of a grove of cedar trees, and there are fleas out there. Cedar trees everywhere. They're not bothering the fleas.
No, well, that's because they're covered with bark.
Okay.
It is keeping, you know, like the cedar oil is within the wood of the tree. It's not exposed. It's not on the outside going into the air or dripping down on the ground or anything. It's like contained within the tree.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for me. I was always like, well, that doesn't make any sense because there's cedar trees everywhere and we have some of the worst flea problems anywhere. But yeah, anyway, you know what I've had a lot of this year is ticks. I've pulled 3 ticks in the history of my grooming and I've pulled 3 more this spring. Ew.
Oh, big fucking deal.
Okay, well, it is here. We don't have them. Hey, you know, I got a free tick twister at Super Zoo.
That looks
like a dream.
Sissy.
Well, I don't know how else to do it.
I've been dealing with ticks forever, and I've never done anything other than pick them off straight out, drop them in the motor oil, drop them in
alcohol,
drop them in sodium lauryl sulfate.
Well, it was really fun using the little tick twister.
Yeah, okay.
And then you spin it in your finger. Ew, one in a schnauzer eyebrow. Oh, that was, I thought, ooh, she's got a mat. Oh, no, that's a tick.
We used to have the worst ticks. I have done dogs where there was 100 in one ear.
Oh, that's gross. Yeah, I've seen pictures.
It was like maggots. I mean, it was like, what the fuck? Poor thing. And you know, and then they want you to pick them all off. Well, I did my best, but.
Oh, yuck. Well, sorry to bring up that creepy crawly subject, but let's go to a happier subject. This always puts me in a good mood. Let's hear from Evolution Shears, those really cool people
who make
the swivel thumbs. And then we're going to have one of my favorite types of segments. It is an Angry Bird segment about mixed vegetables. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. All right, Miss Angry Bird, tell me about your latest rant.
Well, this happened on the shampoo group. This is what it's like to be me. You're just reading along some little conversation, something about the product or something, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's some bullshit pops out at you, and it just like sets you off.
Oh, yeah.
This is me. It sets me off. It triggers me. I have to sit here and like groan for a while. So this was just an ingredient list. It was for one of these all natural pet shampoos. This one was like particularly interesting. I say trying to be non-judgmental, particularly interesting because it is marketed as a probiotic shampoo. So first of all of that, probiotic in a shampoo, you know, it's just another version of Greek yogurt shampoo.
Yeah, don't let it fool you.
Don't let it fool you. So, you know, like, so first of all, I had to write up. That's unreasonable. The truth is there is some skincare products being developed that claim that probiotics applied topically can help skin irritations, blah, blah, blah. The evidence is not really in yet. But there's indications that they might have some benefit. But that's skincare, and that's lotions and sprays.
Oh, that doesn't really affect
us. Like, so that's not what you get when you put probiotics in a shampoo. You've got a shampoo system that's emulsified. Everything, all the ingredients are dissolved and emulsified and held in this...
suspension.
Held in suspension in the liquid, right?
Right.
So that, you know, it doesn't separate out and on the top you have the probiotics. No, it's all held in there. And then you apply it and you spread it around and then you rinse it and it starts breaking up. As you rinse, it starts breaking up and ingredients kind of fall out. And then everything is rinsed off.
By that, do you mean if there's stuff that has more clinging power, it clings on, and then the stuff that doesn't have clinging power drops away and you rinse it away? Or
Yeah. You know, and there are some things like dimethicone is an oil which is held in suspension in the shampoo. There are cationic or made to be more sticky to hair silicone ingredients. But basically, it just phases out and coats the hair. But there's nothing in probiotics to make a probiotic ingredient substantive to hair or skin. It's just going to go down the drain.
So it's just going to lay on top and then go away.
Yeah. It's just going to spread around and then be rinsed off. And it's not like a cream that's going to stay on there. It's not like a spray that's going to stay on there. It's worthless. It's all that it's doing is affecting your imagination. Okay, so that was the beginning.
Okay.
Then somebody had the ingredients of that. Okay, so I'm reading the ingredients, and yeah, there's this lactobacillus and that kind of, you know, probiotic crap going on.
Right.
You know how sometimes they put an ingredient in and then they kind of say, you know, like made from coconuts?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I ran into this ingredient, steraminopropyl dimethylamine. Okay, I can say
that's a good one.
Steraminopropyl, like cocaminopropyl, only this
steraminopropyl dimethylamine. Steraminopropyl dimethylamine.
And it said, parentheses, from mixed vegetables.
Oh, that's how that came into it.
From mixed vegetables.
Really?
So you have a picture of when you think mixed vegetables, don't you think of a frozen package and it's got corn and peas and carrots?
Yeah.
It is not. No.
Yeah. Why do they choose that word?
No, I'm going to tell you why. Steraminopropyl dimethylamine is not made from vegetables. It is made from stearic acid.
Oh, yeah, because that's a vegetable.
Okay, so stearic acid can be from tallow. Anything that starts out S-T-E-A-R, steer, at one point it was made from beef tallow. Steers, got it?
Got it.
Okay, in the beginning, it derived from tallow. There used to be a huge demand for tallow to make chemicals. And stearic acid and beef tallow is high in stearic acid. But steraminopropyl dimethylamine can be made from stearic acid, can be derived from vegetable oils.
Vegetable oils?
Like coconut oil and palm oil and maybe corn oil has a fairly good amount. It might be corn oil. So apparently this is from a mixture. This particular, from their chemical company, is made, their stearic acid is made from a mixture of vegetable oils. Okay.
Well, I would have rather had they say that.
Well, somebody dropped the oils.
Yeah.
Somebody, see, I'm telling you, what happens in these marketing things is that because people are writing texts that know nothing about the chemistry, they fuck it up and they remove, well, we'll just say made from mixed vegetables. No, it's not made from mixed vegetables. It's made from stearic acid, which in this case is derived from mixed vegetable oils. But the other half, that's where the steer comes from. The aminopropyl dimethylamine is made from the same chemical that's called dimethylaminopropylamine, DMAPA.
Oh,
DMAPA. Yes, we've talked about it because guess what? cocaminopropyl betaine is made by a reaction of coconut oil and this dimethylaminopropylamine, DMAPA. Okay, so it's used in the manufacture. DMAPA is made in the manufacture, the synthesis of several different types of ingredients that can be used for in shampoos. And this stearamidopropyl dimethylamine, look at, I said it without reading it.
I know.
It comes from stearic acid. There's also one that it comes in a family of an aminopropylamines. Families, it can be coconut, behenna aminopropylamine, da-da-da-da. You know, so it's a family, but this DMAPA is a major freaking chemical, and it is synthesized in a chemical reaction with stearic acid, which it doesn't matter if it comes from tallow or vegetable oil or petroleum oil. Stearic acid is the molecule stearic acid, no matter where its origin. So they take one half of the ingredient that comes from something that comes from vegetable matter and call the whole synthesized chemical from mixed vegetables.
And throw on top of it that the salesperson has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm sure the company wouldn't understand why it was a red flag. Because it's not from mixed vegetables. You can't have spinach and soy and corn and you jump them all up together and you get some kind of an oil and then it's an ingredient. No, it's so synthesized.
Yeah.
It's so much a chemical. And the other thing that happens with this stearaminopropyl dimethylamine is that it's often identified as being developed as a substitute for silicones.
Yes.
It's really not true. It is used as a substitute for silicones, but it's not ideal. It's used also as a substitute for quats. It's used as a substitute for quaternary ammonium compound, which are cationic surfactants that build up. Quaternary ammonium compounds have a tendency to build up, probably even more than silicone ingredients do. And stearaminopropyl dimethylamine is a different kind of cationic that doesn't build up. Okay? Yay!
Yay!
It's actually a desirable conditioning ingredient because it nicely coats the hair without building up over a period of time. Okay, so it's a good alternative to quaternary ammonium compounds. It works well in a shampoo, and it does not come from mixed vegetables. Okay, how about that?
All right, enough for Angry Bird this week, and actually enough for the Groom Pod this week. We're going to wrap it up. What do you say to that?
Hey, already? I was just getting going.
It's only been an hour and
Damn.
10 minutes, you know. Thanks for listening, you guys. Thanks for listening and supporting our sponsors. I know there's a bunch of them, but trust me, they're going to make this show better. And you guys are making the show better by your support on Patreon. Thank you, Pod Squad, very much. We totally appreciate it. Well, let's meet you guys back here again next week for next week's Groom Pod. And thanks for being here. Ta-ta now. Bye-bye.
Eat your vegetables.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.